The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max. SmackDown. Review.
Hello and welcome. That theme still always makes me think of Talking Smack, even though Talking Smack has been dead for like over a year now. But the theme still always makes me think of Talking Smack. Hey guys, how's it going? It's SmackDown Live Review time. And hey, we got through it! 4 days in a row! We did it! Ooh. The quadfecta is over! For the fourth night in a row, my co-host tonight is Liz Puglisi, and Harry has abandoned us once again, so we have to do this on our own again.
That's right. We started this 4-day stint on our own. We're gonna finish it on our own.
Watch, he won't eat. Watch, we'll get 1 day off, and then he probably won't be able to do NXT on Thursday either.
Yeah, right. Well, come on, 4 days, 5 podcasts, because we have one after this. That's
pretty good. Yes, yeah. So yeah, SmackDown Live. The show opens with Paige talking about Money in the Bank in her office. She talks about the SmackDown matches on the card, and says that Extreme Rules is only 4 weeks away. So we've got a gauntlet match between Big E, Rusev, Miz, Samoa Joe, and Daniel Bryan to determine the new number one contender for the WWE Championship. Going into the ring, we get Carmella coming in and making her entrance. I really wish, like, this would have been the one moment that I actually would have popped for throughout this whole... Well, I did pop for Asuka, but that's it. But The one thing that would have popped me if they would have allowed her to say it, they should have been like, "Hey, remember where I was in NXT? Yeah, I'm the last one standing now."
You know what? It's funny because the petty woman inside me, when she was saying, you know, she wants to be real, I was like, oh, she's going to say, ha ha. I thought similar along to the line, especially since they are broken up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So this seems to be a theme of certain heel women in WWE now doing this faux face thing after winning a title. Yeah. I don't get it. It's annoying, but it is what it is. She says, oh, she never had any self-confidence when she was younger. You know, she never thought she would be good enough. And, you know, now she became a champion and I am a, you know, I am an inspiration for all the young girls, but then she switches it around and is like, look in the mirror and keep on telling yourself that Mella is money. And then she goes into her whole heel thing, saying, psych, I didn't have any confidence issues, and hey, guess what? I did this all by myself. No, you didn't. Shut up. She keeps on talking about, you know, yada yada yada. She beat the Empress. She made her bow down to the Princess of Staten Island. Asuka's music hits. It's the Asuka mask, but it's not Asuka. It's the Stooge James Ellsworth. And he runs down. Asuka saying that no one was ready for Ellsworth, and especially not Asuka, and he says he's back to serve the greatest woman in history, better than Charlotte, better than Lita, better than Trish, better than Mother Teresa, which was crazy, Beyonce, Ronda Rousey, everyone, and last but not least, better than Asuka. Asuka does make her legitimate entrance, and goes right after, Ellsworth, and then Carmella uses the distraction to super kick her, and her and Ellsworth escape. What do you think of this whole segment?
It wasn't bad. It's another example of something we've discussed a few times where if one thing happens on Raw, there's going to be the corresponding event on SmackDown. And that's pretty much it is with the whole, what you were referring to with the heel woman, women, you know, being all nicey nights and then,
yeah,
you know, it's a whole swerve. And it had the interruption. It had, you know, similar to what we saw yesterday with Alexa and Ronda and Kurt.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad, you know, opening segment. It wasn't nearly as good as the one on Raw by any stretch of the imagination. And I was kind of hoping that Ellsworth was a one-shot thing, but hey.
I knew he wouldn't be.
I know. I wanted you to be wrong just for one spring.
You know I'm never wrong.
I'm not saying that. Tori would probably kill me. But hey, you know, props to Ellsworth for, you know, being back in the WWE.
But yeah, I mean, I saw it coming because I saw the rumors throughout the week, right. But as soon as he came out, I was like, oh, as soon as I saw the faux Asuka pop up, I was like, oh God, no. So after that we get the Iconics coming out, and they, you know, they talk about Becky, and they act like they do a mock interview with one of them acting like Becky, and you know, whatever. Yeah, it was the Iconics being Iconics, aka annoying. And then Becky comes out, and we get our opening contest scheduled for One Fall.
One Fall.
Between Becky Lynch and Billie Kay. One thing I was honestly surprised about, although I have a feeling this has another thing to do with the whatever Raw does, SmackDown has to do thing. But especially considering the whole Iconic duo thing and everything, and you've got that ever-present force at ringside. Were you just as surprised as I was that a certain Nature Girl was not with Becky tonight?
No, actually, because I didn't even think of it until you mentioned it. I don't think if this is where you're going, or maybe I'm not sure if we're going to be seeing, you know, some type of feud with one of them, you know, turning, or even a friendly feud. You know, wouldn't be something we've seen before, so it's not, you know, unheard of.
You doubt me again. I'm calling it right now. We're getting Becky versus Charlotte. They teased this already at Money in the Bank with them having that little face-off at the top of the ladder.
You know, I don't care if we do, to be honest. I mean, we've had it before. They faced each other before, right? They had to have had, yes. But I don't mind it being done, as long as they don't take it down the Sasha Bailey route, you know, where A, it's drawn out ridiculously, but B, you know, they're like super mad at each other, you know, it shouldn't be the same exact thing. I mean, we've said it here before again, two friends can have a rivalry, you know, mm-hmm. So I'd like to see them go down that route rather than them mirror the nonsense with Sasha and Bailey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking about the match itself, this match was decent, but nothing too crazy. You know, it ends with, Becky winning with the disarmor. And shocking, Becky Lynch actually gets a win for once. Maybe this is the beginning of something for Becky, especially after the huge pop that she was getting during the Money in the Bank ladder match.
It would be nice. I like that she won with the submission as well. I love submission hold finishes.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be nice to finally. I had picked Becky to win Money in the Bank.
Mm.
So it'd be nice to see her get the push that is long overdue for her.
I don't think anyone got the women's. I don't think anyone got the men's money. Well, did you predict? I think either you or Harry said Braun, right? For the men's?
It was probably Harry who.
Yeah. But none of us got the women's Money in the Bank, right?
I think we both went with Natalya.
Yeah, we did. So following this match, we get a promo from Jeff Hardy in the back. He's in the darkness, talks about Shinsuke's loss at Money in the Bank, saying, and then talking about how the memory of Shinsuke's victory over him on SmackDown last week has stuck with him and has shaken his soul. His actions has had an unintended consequence instead of unsettling him. They gave him sharper focus, and his eyes were closed before, but now they're wide open. And he turns around. It's not full-on Willow, it's not the mask, but we're pretty much getting the WWE version of Willow, everyone. And hopefully they don't screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with it. I like it. I like seeing a different Jeff Hardy. At first, I was thinking he was going to say that he was woken and, like, you know, become Brother Nero. But, you know, I'm fine with having Willow come into the fold as well.
So Willow has never been on the WWE before, no. But he has been in over.
No, this was a gimmick that he created in TNA.
Just checking to be sure. Yeah. Yeah, it should... Should be cool. It should be interesting to see if he's like that every week.
Yeah, we'll see where, you know, how far they go with this and what exactly they have planned for Hardy moving forward. But it should be fun. Yes. We get it. What?
I was just agreeing.
we get a interview with Daniel Bryan. He says he's going to be the first one in. He won't just survive, he will win. At Money in the Bank, he proved that size doesn't matter. Yeah, that's for sure. That big guy went straight out. All, you yes locked him right to the unemployment line.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I was shocked when Sean posted that on the group chat. I was like, wait, what?
I posted it first.
Oh, did you? Oh, yeah, you were the one who posted it. Sorry, my bad.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I know. I saw it, and at first I thought it was, like, a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I even, like, clicked on the link because somebody had reposted. One of my Facebook friends had reposted it. And I'm like, kept clicking on it. I'm like, oh, this isn't the real account. This isn't the real account. Yeah, because it didn't make it, but it was, you know, obviously it was. It's just really crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, Twitter is. Sorry, my headphones are bothering me. Twitter is all ablaze with a conspiracy theory. So if you want to look them up.
Oh, God. I just say one of them and I'll look up the rest. I just want to hear this.
Well, see, there was the one that I posted in there that he did the big boot and Vince told him not to. So they were just finishing out the storyline.
Well, I could honestly see that. I could honestly see Vince being like that.
Another one is that there was some type of altercation with Carmella. Mm. Which sadly I could also see.
I could, yeah, I mean, that I could also see.
Then another one was... you know, then there's like, you know, him just being frustrated and asking, you know,
I'm sure we'll get more news on what happened over the next couple of days with that. For those of you who are completely under a rock and do not know what we're talking about, the big cast, was released today. So, yeah. Brian continues. He says tonight he might have to face three of the best all in a row: Rusev, Samoa Joe, and Big E. And then this was probably the funniest part of this interview. Renee says, and Miz, and Brian just looks at him, just looks at her and says, I said three of the best. And then the Miz. Thank you, Brian. Thank you for reminding everyone what I've known for all of these years.
No.
Yes.
Let's not go there. No. We'll do a separate podcast just on that.
All I can think of is just him being a, you know, fake Hollywood guy and, like, on the real world and stuff.
We have to get past that because he has proven himself. He's been a very good company man. You have to say that.
I'll give you that. And he,
you know, but let's not get into that because it won't be for 3 hours. I'll be here for the real.
And all you need to know about his stamina for a match like this is his performance at Greatest Royal Rumble. Legs, lungs, and heart will take me to the WWE Championship. And then he asks if he asks Renee if he can interview her now, and he asks her if she thinks he's ready. And she says she's sure he's sufficiently prepared. And then Brian's like, no, that's not what I wanted you to say. This is very simple. Keep up with me now. And he asks again, and she says yes, and of course they do the yes, yes, yes. And Renee laughs as Brian walks off. We have Usos coming out for their match, and they cut a promo saying how, yeah, Sandy wants to make a name for themselves on us. We remember when we tried to do that for ourselves, and we had face paint like the Ultimate Warrior, fresh out of Sesame Street, but we figured it out, and it'll take a lot more than paint to make a name. You gotta share your heart, keep it 100%, and have a few screws loose, and they did all that. Tonight, Chaos meets Uso Crazy, and welcome to the Uso Penitentiary. Sandy doesn't even, you know, we don't even end up getting the match, because Sanity attacks as they come out for their entrance, beat down the Usos, hit the back suplex neckbreaker, and, you know, that's that. What do you think of this as the way for Sanity to make their grand debut?
I think it was the best way for them to make... You know, their debut, I'm guessing, unless I missed something, and I apologize if I did, they're going to be going pretty quickly up against the Bludgeon Brothers, and you have two somewhat strange, brutally crazy type, you know, teams.
That would be awesome if they did.
Yeah, so if we can get them, you know, and I mean, Harper and Rowan, Harper especially... I'm more familiar with Harper outside of the WWE than I am with Rowan. And obviously when they were in NXT, I didn't watch it. So I'm not familiar with them there. But I, you know, from being here, you know, I like both of them. So, I mean, they're both very talented. I mean, Harper can really move for, you know, a big man. And so can the guys in Sanity. So,
oh, yeah.
If they'll... let, and we have our fingers crossed, you know, go, we can get one hell of a feud from them.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I'd be happy if they, you know, if they shot them up quick and made them the number one contender already. I hope that, especially with the way they debuted in this and, like, not even having the match and attacking them and everything and their name, I hope they do with Sanity right off the bat. Basically, I'd like to see a combination of S.H.I.E.L.D. and what they're doing with the Riot Squad now, where they just cause chaos.
Yes, and it would be very, very fitting, you know, of course. Yeah. Hopefully they'll listen to you this time, too.
Hopefully. So following the beatdown, we get the club talking in the back, saying they're in the best shape of their lives, and and Carl Anderson gets to show off his abs. What's with Bullet Club members and having good abs?
Why are we going to question this? Let's just enjoy it.
I just had to put that out there.
What's with the Bullet Club members in oil?
And using oil? Yeah, that's a good one, too.
It's a better question. Luke was so damn shiny. Which obviously is part of the joke, I know, yeah. But it was like, oh my god.
Bludgeon Brothers are talking, wearing animal masks, and, you know, just, you know, do their thing, sending us to break. Then from off of break, we get Shinsuke getting interviewed. He asks what a loss is, but he's not pretending not to speak English. He asks how he lost. He's still standing right here in front of us, and the only reason why AJ is the WWE champion is the ref counted very fast and not in Japanese, which is hilarious. You know what's even funnier about that? If you really think about it, and him saying not in Japanese, hello, they count in English in New Japan too, Shinsuke. That is not an excuse.
Do they really?
Yes. Yes, they don't do Japanese numbers in New Japan. It's 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's hysterical.
Granted, it's a faster count, but it goes up to 20, so. But yeah, so yeah, no, that's not an excuse, Shinsuke. Don't be giving me that. As far as Jeff Hardy goes, if he crosses him again, he will get him. And that's that. Our tag title match, scheduled for One Fall, is the Bludgeon Brothers versus the Club. And this was actually a pretty good match. I dare say that this was better than the pre-show match that they had, on Sunday.
Most definitely. I was surprised that it was given the opportunity it was.
Mm-hmm.
To the benefit of us, and but also grateful because they are four, you know, talented guys, and Anderson and Gallows I know get a lot of flack because I think one of them even said like, yeah, they're there for the paycheck or whatever, but hey, even if they are, major props to you. It does not really, you know, bother me, especially if you're going to admit it. But no, and especially for Anderson and Gallows, because they've been kind of shit on for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've been being used better since the move to SmackDown. But it was a pleasant surprise to get the match that we did.
Yeah, definitely. I get what you're saying. I'll give them some props, I guess, for at least admitting it. But, mm-hmm. you know... I've said before, and I'll say it again, that's one of the big problems I have with modern WWE guys. And I like how they're allowing Drew McIntyre to basically call them out directly. But I would like to see them get some sort of push and a title shot, and a title run, excuse me. To further legitimize them as one of the better tag teams in the world.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I'm hoping that the tag team division, you know, continues to pick up.
Yeah. I mean, the SmackDown tag team division is leaps and bounds better than the Raw tag team division right now, but that's not really saying much.
No. And plus, too, you know, part of... real quick, part of their whole, oh, you know, we're here for the paycheck. When you,
mm-hmm.
when the tag division is what it is on Raw, you know, what else are you really there for? Because there's nothing really, you know what I mean?
No, I agree with that. And then, immediately after the match, Daniel Bryan, you're so smart most of the time, but you made a boneheaded decision right here. Why? I mean, I hate this whole thing that they've been doing recently to begin with, but to interrupt guys like the Bludgeon Brothers, I had a feeling it was going to come back to bite him. And sure enough, it did.
Right, which is their way, well, I'll say it when we get down to that. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Brian, his entrance music hits and he enters while the Bludgeon Brothers are still leaving the ring. And that was very, very poor decision on Daniel's part. We see Miz, doing more of his, best impression of Daniel LaRusso in the back. I don't know I guess he's a huge Karate Kid / Cobra Kai fan right now, because he likes doing his Mr. Miyagi stuff.
I would assume so. there's no other explanation for it. Mm-hmm.
Rusev Day is talking strategy. Samoa Joe's also shadowboxing. And New Day's hoisting Big E up to prepare for the main event. So, the main event, scheduled for one fall. Well, actually, no, excuse me. Let me try this again. The main event, scheduled for four falls, is the WWE Championship number one contenders gauntlet match between Big E, Daniel Bryan, Rusev, Samoa Joe, and The Miz. With Big E and Daniel Bryan starting this off. This was probably the best match, well, either this or the last match, was the best match of the four matches, in this gauntlet match. I thought for a second that Big E might have had him, but I figured Bryan would survive. Mm-hmm. Which he does. Sadly. No, not sadly.
Yeah, whatever. I don't like The Miz. I don't like Daniel.
Yes. Samoa Joe comes out next. Joe takes control for a while. Then Bryan makes a big comeback. This match also was very good. And the ending was kind of interesting, but it definitely sets up what happens next. Joe is trying to beat down Bryan, puts him in the coquina clutch outside of the ring, trying to get in a count out elimination. And instead, Bryan's able to get out of a reverse it, toss, knock Joe down and get into the ring right before the 10 count, and Joe is counted out. Honestly, I was surprised that Joe did not get involved in this beatdown, especially with how Joe is, and he would have been, you would think he'd be very frustrated that he got eliminated by count out after he was trying to do that very thing to Bryan.
Sorry, no, but I mean, it was smart to have him counted out because it keeps him. He got outsmarted for a moment. He didn't get pinned, so.
Yeah. But I'm surprised that he did not join in this beatdown. So yeah, Bludgeon Brothers come back and double powerbomb Bryan. Miz comes out. Grant, the match is still going on. And he hits the skull-crushing finale to eliminate Bryan. And that leaves us with Miz and Rusev. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm awake.
See, I don't agree with you here, because I think that Miz and Rusev put on a pretty good match for us.
They put on a solid match, but...
Oh my god, you know what? You're just Miz-biased. Miz
not just Miz. I'm not much of a fan of Rusev either.
Shush your mouth.
Although I may like him better once I have a feeling what's about to happen.
No, I love Aiden, so you know what I didn't like? The stupidity, not stupidity, but Daniel interrupted the Bludgeon Brothers, so they came out and beat him up, so that way Daniel still looks strong. Because Miz only beat him because the Bludgeon Brothers beat him up. Womp, 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 womp. It's whatever.
It's just the same way as they kept Samoa Joe looking strong.
Yeah, Samoa Joe is so much, you know, better than Daniel.
Yes, yes, your Brian hatred.
I don't hate him. I don't care for his, you know, comeback story. So he's come back and now he's on the top because he's so fabulous. Because if it was anybody else, the internet would be having a freaking stroke for crying out loud.
I disagree with that. I mean, you know, if it was someone that most people didn't necessarily like, then they might. But, you know, if it was, you know, I mean, I would compare Brian, I mean, it's a different scenario, but I would compare Brian in a way to Shawn Michaels, where, you know, he was out of commission for a while, and then he made a big return, and he went right back to the top of the card.
Yeah, but that's Shawn.
Yeah, Brian's on the same level.
I know.
Brian was trained by Shawn.
I know that. I've always said that while I have never drank the Kool-Aid and bought the hype and whatever, I do like Daniel. I don't hate the man. I do like Daniel. He's an amazingly talented man. He can cut a promo. I loved him as the GM. I could care less that he made a comeback. That's all, you know. I totally get why he's in the spot that he is. Absolutely. Is it the spot that he should serve? But just like people don't like random shit, this is something that I'm like, I could care less about.
Oh, I get that.
I don't think Miz and Rusev were, you know, so awful. I thought it was a pretty good match. And, of course, we got Rusev winning. So that was pretty shocking.
I honestly wasn't all that shocked because this kind of, like, I have a feeling that they're going to do something with Miz and Brian where, like, it won't fully be Miz, but, like, we're going to get the start to that feud. And I think that, like I said, you know, well, let's just finish this off, and then I'll talk about what I'm about to talk about when it comes to Rusev.
Moving forward. As long as we don't get some stupid-ass triple threat match.
No, we're not going to get a triple threat match. But, so, the finish is that Rusev puts the accolade on, Miz taps, and he becomes number one contender. After the match, AJ comes out, putting the title down between them, offered Rusev a handshake. Rusev accepts the handshake. Aiden comes over to offer his hand to AJ as well. AJ is going to shake it, but English pulls his hand back and Styles punches him in the face and puts him down on the mat. And then Rusev kind of looks at him like, what the hell were you thinking? So, yeah, this is definitely setting up some dissension between the two. And I have a feeling that this match, I don't think Rusev is winning the title yet.
Well, no, yeah.
But I have a feeling that this match will end up being a good match, with AJ winning, and then, Rusev, either AJ going for the handshake or Rusev going for the handshake, them shaking hands, and then Aiden attacking AJ, and Rusev Machka kicking Aiden right in the face. And thus, thus solidifying a face turn for Rusev.
Very plausible and most likely going to happen.
So, yeah. If we get a face Rusev, I could actually get behind face Rusev.
He's been faced before, hasn't he?
No, not on the main roster.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least if they've attempted it, it's been a very poor attempt.
You know what it is? I see him so much on, like, up, up, down, down.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just how it... That's just how I see him now. You know, I'm like, oh yeah.
But see, that's what I'm saying. You know, he has the personality that he could pull it off very easily.
Mm-hmm.
If they pulled the trigger on it, and I think this is the best opportunity for them to pull the trigger on it. I'm certainly hoping we get it, and I'm hoping it's not, because I think we were kind of starting to get it slightly when, like, during that whole, like, I forget who was even supposed to be face and heel in this feud, because it was so convoluted, but the only time I could even consider him potentially being a face was during that whole feud between him and Dolph with Lana and Summer Rae.
Yeah, that's I forgot about that. Forgot all about that horribleness.
I think we all want to forget about that, but none of us can. So yeah, that's the only time that I'd even say he might have been facing his whole entire time on the main roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think because I do follow him on social media, and he is pretty active on social media, and Lana is extremely active on social media, and then he dressed up as a clown for Bertie Danielson's, you know, birthday.
Oh, God.
You know, I see that. That's hysterical. I have to find you that clip. That's hysterical.
I could imagine.
It's just right, because he's a clown. Well, lots of clowns are fat. But he's not really fat. He's not really fat. But he's actually trimmed down. I mentioned that earlier.
Oh, yeah,
you
did mention that earlier.
But the baby is actually scared of him. It's hysterical. It's hysterical. And Daniel's like, oh my God, she literally just pooped her pants because she was so scared of the clown. It's hysterical. And he's like, no, look, it's me, it's Uncle Mila, whatever his name
yeah.
is. It's hysterical. Yeah, but, you know, so we're probably definitely going to get Aiden breaking off from him, and there'll be something, and then Aiden will drift away into obscurity again.
Yep. And we'll get Face Rusev, which I may actually enjoy. And actually do the Rusev Day chant.
Rusev Day. Rusev Day. It's
for you. So, 1 to 10 rating on this?
You know, I really enjoyed the show. So, I think it was a pretty good show. Opening not as good as the one as Roar, as we said earlier. Mm-hmm. But overall, pretty solid. Very well paced, in my uninformed opinion. I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 7. What?
Nah, yeah, 7.5. 7.5. I'm going to change it to 8, but they don't deserve it that much.
I'll give it a 7. You know, a lot of it was pretty good. I'm hoping that this win for Rusev has a point to it. But we'll see. But overall, it wasn't a bad show. One word review.
Harry left one in chat, and yeah, I'm going to steal it. Okay. It was a good one. Hype.
Hype.
Hype. It fits. I mean, it mm-hmm. hyped up, you know, the Carmella and Asuka feud, and Rusev and AJ, and Miz and Daniel. I mean, I think every match except maybe the women's match really, you could really say, is leading to something.
Yeah. I'll use a very similar word. I'll use progression. This, you know, this episode definitely, you know, started and progressed basically all of the feuds going into Extreme Rules.
That's good. That's a solid word for it.
So that just about wraps it up for us for SmackDown. We'll be back in a little bit for 205 Live. So for Liz Puglisi, I'm Brandon Biscobing saying so long, and we'll talk to you later. See ya.